Hi, I'm Jim Cathcart. The purpose of selling is to build profitable business friendships. One of the ways we do that is through upserving. Upserving is a word that I've mentioned before. It's a word I coined years ago to just put the emphasis not on upselling, but on increasing the amount of service so that you increase the amount of loyalty you get back from the customer, the degree to which the customer is satisfied. See, so many times when we go into selling with an idea of getting a bigger sale. Well, why not go in with the idea of getting all future sales from this person? Instead of just focusing on today's transaction, the purchase today, and making that as big as you can make it, why not think in terms of the longer relationship with this client and think of building such a relationship that they want to give you all their business indefinitely? So you start with brand identity. That's where you want them to recognize you exist, where someone sees, for example, a Coca-Cola logo and they say, hey, Coke, I know what that is. Brand identity. McDonald's, Starbucks, Disney, you know, some of the better known names in the world. Those are names that achieved enormous brand identity. Well, when you and I start out in a marketplace, we don't have any brand identity to speak of. So we have to build that. And we get ourselves out in the marketplace. We get our product out there. We put our materials and our message out in the market. And that builds the identity. But what we want to do next is we want to go from brand identity to brand preference, where someone says, yeah, I realize there are other options, but I'd rather do business with this one. So when you reach brand preference, then your competition is not nearly as big a factor as it is at just the brand identity level. And then once you achieve brand preference, what you want to go for is brand insistence. Brand insistence means simply getting to the point where ultimately they're saying, I realize I could do other things, go with other people, buy from somebody else. I'm not interested. I'll wait if I have to. I want to do business with you. Now, brand insistence, to get there, that takes some serious commitment from you to them. See, what we want to do is take people through a sequence, a progression, where they go from being a complete stranger to being a person who has at least sampled or experienced on some level what it is we do, what it is we bring to them or give to them. So someone's had a little bit of a taste of what we do. And then we want to take them from being one who has sampled what we have to offer to a user. Someone that's bought our product or used our service or joined our club or participated in our event. And from user, we want them to become a buyer, a person who is saying, not only have I made a small purchase, but I want to make a larger commitment. And then from buyer to loyal customer to investor to ultimately member of our board of directors. But think about this. Here's the progression once again to make it simple. Total stranger. They realize you exist. They try a taste of what you've got to offer. So they've sampled what you have. Next, from taking a sample to becoming a user. Becoming a user to being a regular buyer. Regular buyer to a loyal customer. Loyal customer to an investor. Investor to ultimately a member of the board of directors, maybe. I don't know. But think about the progression from they don't know anything about you to they feel like they're part of your family. That progression is what we want to move people along as quickly as we possibly can. And the way to do that is not just to seek loyalty from them, but to give loyalty to them. Building customer loyalty means building customer loyalty from us to them rather than going out and seeking it from the customer. You might think, all my training has been that you go and you get customer loyalty. You don't give customer loyalty. Well, we'll talk about that some more because that's a subject that I think separates those that are simply identified from those that are insisted upon. Stay tuned. The Purpose of Selling will be right back. Years ago, I was retained by a company to do some training for their executive team on the subject of lifetime customer loyalty. And they wanted me to teach their people how to get the people throughout their whole organization, which was a big worldwide organization, to gain more loyalty from their customers. And I did some research on the company, and I went to their headquarters, and I said, you know, folks, I've been out in the field. I've been talking to some of your people, and I've found that what they think is they think customers are supposed to give loyalty to them. And the executive said, so what's wrong with that? I said, loyalty is not something you get. Loyalty is something you give. And they said, excuse me? I said, think about it. If you focus on giving loyalty to customers, what you will get in return is their loyalty to you. Not always, and not for a lifetime. But the best way in the world for you to earn loyalty is to give loyalty. And they said, well, what does that mean? I said, it means when they're not buying from you, still treat them well. Treat them with respect and dignity. Stay in touch with them. They said, but they're non-customers. I said, exactly. And you want them back. So give loyalty. Don't just try to get loyalty. And then when it comes to getting into a marketplace, if you want to saturate a marketplace with your presence, with an awareness of you, and have people want to do business with you, insist on doing business with you, then what you have to do is get your reputation out there. First, penetrate the market. Get in there in any way that you can, and just start doing business there. And then start permeating the marketplace. Find out where they get their information. Who shapes their opinions? Who do they respect? Who do they fear? Who do they resent? Or what do they resent? Who do they admire? So when people are thinking about the things they do every day, what you want to do is show up everywhere they seem to look. When they go to a convention, there you are. When they go to the expo and they see all the booths laid out and all the materials being presented, there you are again. When they go to one of their own conferences, there you are again. They open their magazine. You've written an article. You were interviewed in one of their internet interview shows. See, the more you and I can show up in their world, the more likely they are to seek us out and to trust us, because we have not only penetrated the market, we've permeated the market and saturated the market with our presence so that everywhere they turn, they find you and me. See, that way we're showing our loyalty to them. We're showing we're dedicated to this marketplace, this location, this group, whatever it happens to be. We're showing that we're willing to do our part, and we're not expecting them to first earn it by doing business with us. See, those that wait for the customer to be loyal to them tend to get to wait a very long time. But those that immediately start giving loyalty to the customer, they tend to grow a lot more business very rapidly. Years ago, I worked with an insurance agency when I first started in business as a trainer and a consultant. And I did a good job for the agency, and they got great sales results. And they said, we'll be happy to write a letter on your behalf to our colleagues and tell them about you. And if you'll just write the letter, we'll send it out. So I wrote a letter. And I gave it to Joe, who was the client that I worked with most directly. And he said, Jim, you're too modest. You're better than this. Let me rewrite this. And he wrote a much more, bold letter recommending my services. Well, then he sent it out to all his colleagues, 125 colleagues in an insurance organization, different agency leaders. And as a result of that, five of them hired me. And after those five had hired me, I sent out a second letter. And this one came from me and said, you recently got a letter from Joe. Since that letter, I've worked with five of your colleagues, and here are the results. Well, that led to ultimately 30 of those agencies hiring me, and then the home office hired me. Then I started getting referrals within the insurance industry. Then the banking industry picked up on that, and they said, hey, why don't you come over and speak to us? I ended up with years of business off of that one beginning just by upserving that client and doing everything I could for the one client. See, when we give our loyalty to them and just totally pour ourselves into service, then they give their loyalty to us. So if we want to earn it, we've got to answer the question I saw on this little evaluation card from Swiss Air one time. It says, did we care? And when you read through here, it's the normal evaluation. But the satisfaction is not about the service. It's about, did you care? Don't shortchange yourself. Stay tuned. One way people know whether we care or not is through the sense they get of whether we're trying to sell them or whether we're trying to serve them. That's why I coined that phrase, upserving, or the term upserving. See, upselling is me basically saying, you want fries with that? You know, asking for an additional purchase from you. And the emphasis is me getting more of a sale. Not just me helping more, it's me making a bigger sale. So it's increasing the transaction. Change the energy. Shift it to upserving. Increase the service you're giving. Increase the degree to which you're helping. And go for more, not transaction, more satisfaction. Because a more satisfied customer is a customer who's going to buy more anyway, ultimately, maybe today, but certainly ultimately. A more satisfied customer is a more loyal customer. And it's a customer who will give you fewer complaints because they give you the benefit of the doubt on things instead of picking at every little thing that you do or don't do. So years ago, I moved from Little Rock, where I grew up in Arkansas, to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And when I moved to Tulsa, one of the first things I wanted to do was reestablish my normal day. And for me, a normal day always starts with breakfast by myself, thinking and taking notes and using that time creatively. I've done that for 30 years. It served me well. So I got to Tulsa and I looked around for a restaurant. Sure enough, about a mile from the office, there were the symbols, the golden arches. I had pretty simple taste at the time, but there they were up through the trees about a mile from the new office. And I went into McDonald's and I ordered that morning from the two women behind the counter, a teenager and a 20-year-old. I ordered an Egg McMuffin from the 20-year-old. But when I walked up to the counter, the 20-year-old said to me, "Good morning, what's your name?" I almost went into shock. I mean, she's asking my name in a fast food restaurant? Wow. And she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "You just asked my name." She said, "The question was too hard." I said, no, it's Jim Cathcart. I'll have an Egg McMuffin and coffee." She said, "Fine, that'll be $1.41. I said, "I was just shocked that you asked my name." And so I got my breakfast, started to walk off, and the teenager turned to the 20-year-old. She said, "Hey, Grandma, where are the coffee cups?" I said, "Excuse me, Grandma? You're not a grandmother. You're in your 20s. She said, "Well, they call me Grandma. My name's Marilyn, but I take care of everyone, so that's my nickname, Grandma." And I said, "Okay, Grandma." I said, "Do you like to be called Grandma?" She said, "Yeah, you can call me Grandma." So I did. I came back day after day, and this became my regular place. Well, after a while, she got to know my name and knew what I was going to order. Always the same, always cost the same. So I came in one morning, and as I drove into the parking lot, I knew from what I saw in the parking lot, when I got to the lobby, I had a challenge. What do you think I saw in the parking lot? Two buses. Two buses in a McDonald's parking lot equals what? 90 people in a McDonald's lobby? I went up, squeezed through the door, got into the lobby, looked for the line that was moving fastest, the one that always seems to stop when you get in it. Yeah. And I settled in for what I thought was going to be a long wait when I heard my name, Mr. Cathcart. Mr. Cathcart, I look up at the front and it's Grandma, Marilyn. Yes. She said, "Your breakfast is ready." Excuse me. "My breakfast is ready." Walked up to the front. Everybody's looking at me. And sure enough, there's my breakfast. I reached for my money. She said, "Nah, it's on the house." Wow. I strutted into the dining room and dined, if you can do that, on an Egg McMuffin. Happy man. Now, at that point, what do you think the odds were I might come back again? Exactly. It was totally in favor of it. 100-1, you know. I was coming back. But what would I come back for? The cuisine? The price? What would I come back for? Location? No, I'd come back for Grandma. I'd come back, more importantly, I'd come back to repeat the way she made me feel. Exactly. Exactly. See, people will spend more money, take more time, go to more difficulty to achieve the feelings they want than they will to get the things they need. So when we understand that, when we increase in our own organization the grandma factor, meaning the degree to which we acknowledge people like she did me, the degree to which we treat them in a way that feels special to them, when we acknowledge and treat people in a special way regularly, and we make sure that we're consciously, intentionally managing that process, then the grandma factor in our organization goes up, or in our own behavior goes up. And as that happens, customer loyalty builds as well. See, we're being loyal to the customer first. And when we're loyal to the customer feels an impulse to be loyal to us. So what the customer wants to know, as I said earlier, is they want to know, do you care? And the way you show that you care is not by trying to upsell to get a bigger sale. It's by looking for opportunities to upserve so that you increase the amount of satisfaction they feel with whatever it is that they buy. And you can do that in myriad ways. Just think about all the things you could do from the beginning of the sales contact all the way through the end of the purchasing cycle to increase their experience, to make it just a little bit more satisfying, a little bit easier for them. Fill out a form in advance. You know, have the information down already. Give some thought to what you could do to prepare that so that they don't have to work so much and the whole experience just feels good to them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. One way to manage the way people feel is to manage their total experience of you. Think about the last time you met with someone on a sales call. Did you consciously manage where the meeting was going to be held, how the seating was going to be arranged, what they were going to be looking at behind you and what you were going to be looking at behind them? For example, if you're meeting in a restaurant, who's looking toward all the activity and the distractions and who's looking toward the wall? Seat the customer in a comfortable and pleasant place where they're looking at the wall and you're looking at all the distractions. And then keep your focus on them. They have no reason, no motivation to keep their focus on you. You have every motivation to keep your focus on them. I recently held an event called the 101, which relates to Highway 101 in California, Leaders Summit. And at the Leaders Summit, what we did is bring together all the community leaders and all the civic leaders and a lot of business leaders from that 101 corridor where I live, just north of Los Angeles. And in doing so, I told my team that was managing the summit with me, I want to manage every moment of their experience. I want them to say, wow, many times throughout the whole experience. When they register on the website and they get their confirmation by email, when they show up at the country club where we're holding the event, when they enter the parking lot, enter the lobby, when they get to the meeting room, you know, and they find a gift book or CD or special report on the table, a new one in every meeting room they go to all day long. I want everything about this experience to be special for them so that we manage their experience, upserving in as many ways as we can. And then at the end, I want to thank them creatively. I saw a recent example of this same wow concept from my colleague and friend, Nito Cubain. Nito Cubain is a professional speaker and author, a brilliant man, who's also the president of High Point University in North Carolina. And at High Point University, they have an executive called the director of WOW. And his job is to see to it that when someone comes on that campus to consider whether to enroll there or not, that every 4 minutes they have a WOW experience. And it starts when you arrive. You get there and you find that you've got your own personal parking spot with your name on it. WOW. And then you walk around campus and you hear there are loudspeakers that are playing jazz music or classical music. Wow. And then you see an ice cream truck and you find out it's the campus ice cream truck and it gives out ice cream bars to the students free all day long. Wow. I mean, everything about the experience when people come there to consider that university is thought about in advance and it's intentionally designed to upserve them. See, I just think about all the different examples of how you can apply this. I recently held an event for the Boys and Girls Clubs where I live, and it was a big event, 400 people, and we used the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, the big Air Force One pavilion there, and it was a fabulous facility. But out of those 400 people, we were able to raise $280,000 net for the Boys and Girls Clubs through that event, by managing every single moment of the experience so that when it came time for the auction, the people felt impulse to be generous. When they were talking with each other, they felt great about being there. We managed it all. And at the end, we formed of our team a gratitude brigade. I said, I want these people to feel thanked. I don't care how many times we thank them. That's not what counts. What counts is whether they feel thanked. So I want everyone that was involved in this, from the participants to their guests, to our special celebrities, to the members of our team and the volunteers, to get three thank yous. I want us to thank them in person, by email, by letter, personal note card, drop in on them, see them somewhere, and make sure they hear it from more than one person. See, what happens is if we want people to go from strangers to being part of our family, we've got to take them through a process of proving to them that we care about them and about seeing to it that they get value from what we do. So in everything we do, we should be looking for opportunities not to upsell, but rather to upserve. Increase the service, and you will indeed increase their satisfaction.